My name's Patricia King, and with me I have Sid Roth, the author of The Incomplete Church. And Sid, it's awesome to have you with us today. You're a man that our ministry highly honors in the Lord, and for all that you've done to advance the kingdom and to bring light and understanding to us, but also your evangelistic call to the Jewish people is amazing, and to stir us up in it. And this book is very insightful, The Incomplete Church. There is so much in this. There's history, there's teaching, there's scripture, there's testimony. But here's a big question. You call it The Incomplete Church. Why is it incomplete?
Well, it's incomplete because there's a missing people group. I call it the law of evangelism, and a lot of people misunderstand. When I reach out to the Jewish people first, it's because my heart is God's heart, which is to reach all people. And I explain in the book what is most people don't know. Most Christians don't have a clue. It's called the law of evangelism. We know about spiritual laws of healing. We know about spiritual laws of prosperity. But there's only one thing we're going to take to heaven with us, and we won't need healing in heaven.
Right.
We won't need money in heaven.
Right.
The only thing we take to heaven with us is souls.
Right.
So the most important spiritual laws to understand are the laws of evangelism. Now, when God wanted to reach the world, he started with a Jew, Abraham.
Right.
When Jesus wanted to reach the world, he said, I go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Right.
When Paul wanted to reach the world, he said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first.
Right.
That was not just God's historical order, but that was God's spiritual order. And Patricia, I have found in the last 35 plus years of ministry, when I reach out to the Jew first, it opens up a supernatural door, a greater door, if you will, of evangelism to all people. For instance, in Isaiah, there's a little scripture that says in the last days, I believe it's Isaiah 49:12, in the last days, the Jews from Sinon will return to Israel. Sinon is Hebrew for China.
Wow,
and I literally
really?
Went to a little city in China called Kaifeng, China, and I found cemetery filled with Jewish grave sites, and I found Chinese Jews. Who would have thought there would be Chinese Jewish people? But God says in a prophet Isaiah, in the last days, the Jews from Sinon will return to Israel. I led one of these Chinese Jews to the Lord, and he made Aliyah and immigrated with his entire family to Israel. But what is so exciting is I did a Feast of Tabernacles celebration on a Buddhist shrine in Kaifeng, China, and it was on TV, and the whole city, all the Gentiles, were able to know about the Messiah.
Wow.
It opened up a supernatural door of salvation to all people. So when I say the incomplete church, I'm really talking about Jesus's prayer in John 17:21.
Right.
He said, I pray that they, and he was talking to Jewish people,
right.
And he said, I have a fold of other sheep, that's Gentiles.
The
only two people groups at that time is who they is. I pray that they, Jews and Gentiles, might be one.
Right.
And what's the repercussion? So the world will believe. And when these two, it's almost as if there is a spiritual DNA in Jewish people that come to know Jesus, and a spiritual DNA in Gentiles that come to know Jesus, and we're incomplete without each other.
Right.
So that's why Jesus himself prayed, I pray that they might be one. In fact, Paul says in Ephesians, the second chapter, the reason Jesus came was to break down the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile to form one new man.
One new man.
So the body is incomplete, or the incomplete church, if you will, without Jewish people coming in. Now, Jesus started with Jewish people, and he's going to end with Jewish people.
Right.
As a matter of fact, Jesus says in the Gospels, I will not return until the Jewish people say, Baruch Abba B'Shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so I find that at this, in fact, the 102nd Psalm, let me read that to you. Psalm 102, verse 13 says, you will arise and have mercy on Zion for the time to favor her. Yea, the set time has come. And then the 16th verse says, for the Lord shall build up Zion, and then he will appear in his glory. And who was this written for? The 18th verse says, this will be written for the generation to come, or in the Hebrew, this will be written for the last generation, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord.
Wow, that is awesome.
And there's so much revelation.
That is so
once it's a key. Once you understand what Paul is going, is besides himself talking about this one new man, it opens up the entire Bible.
You know, Sid, until you explained about the law of evangelism, I never thought of it, but you make it so clear. And it's true, it's to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. And so I believe that anyone engaging in evangelism, when we have a heart to reach the Jews first, even if it's first of all in prayer and making decrees over their salvation and that, which we should be doing every day, that'll open up a fresh anointing, an enhanced anointing for reaching Gentiles. And so, because it is like a law of evangelism, but I'd never seen it that way before. But we are to all come together. We are one. We are to be one in Jesus.
And you know, Patricia, there is, if I was to look at those that are watching us right now, look at you, and I was to say, I have a prophetic word for you. And I mean, for you. In specific, but I have something better than a prophetic word. I have a written word, a more sure word of prophecy, the surest word of prophecy you can have, the written word of God. And this is what God says in Romans 11:11. Salvation has come to the Gentile to provoke the Jew to jealousy. No other people group in all the world, because you see, because Jewish people were faithful at the first coming of Jesus, Paul says we owe a debt of gratitude to Jewish people, mm-hmm. because of them are the fathers, the scriptures, the worship. And now, Gentiles who owe a debt of gratitude can repay the debt. Salvation has come to the Gentile to provoke the Jew to jealousy. But when these two people groups, that spiritual DNA in the Jewish believer in Jesus and the spiritual DNA in the Gentile believer in Jesus, it comes together, going back to that John 17:21, John 17:22 is pretty exciting. When they come together, this is what God promises. Jesus says, the same glory that is on me will be on them. How would you like the same glory that's on Jesus
absolutely.
On you? How would you like the same glory that's on Jesus on you?
Yeah, and we can have it. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the power of feasts and festivals as we engage in these things today. Yes, it's for today. We'll be right back.
The Incomplete Church is the powerful new book by Sid Roth.
God is going to have a new paradigm for the church. It's the end time church. There's something missing. That's why I wrote my book, The Incomplete Church.
The Incomplete Church explains the next move of God's Spirit. This new move of God will result in the greatest Jewish and Gentile revival in history. Be sure to get your copy of The Incomplete Church. It's available to you right now with a donation of $25 or more. Call 866-980-5464 or donate online in the store at xpmedia.com. Television offer 217. Donate today.
Join Patricia King and Joan Hunter for Promises Fulfilled, an amazing event to be held at the Riviera International Conference Center in Torquay, England. Sit under the teaching of Joan Hunter, a dynamic minister of healing and deliverance, and receive your victory. Learn to walk in the freedom, power, and promise of the Word of God through Patricia King, founder of Extreme Prophetic and XP Media. Join us June 16th through 18th for Promises Fulfilled.
Well, welcome back. We have Sid Roth with us, author of The Incomplete Church. It's a book that we should all have on our bookshelves because there's so much in this. The first read through, you just don't catch it all. There's so much good teaching in here, good testimony, stirs our faith, but it also helps us recognize who we are created to be in Jesus and how both Jews, Gentiles need to come together to express the fullness of what God has for us in this new creation. But I want to ask you about feasts and festivals, Sid, because yes, you've got some great revelation on that and the importance of observing them even in this hour. So can you help unpack some of this for us so that we can understand it better?
I would love to, because there's a lot of misunderstanding. It's not you have to observe these feasts. There's something wrong with that.
Right.
It's too religious.
Right.
It's you want to. Now,
right.
Why do you want to?
Right.
Let me show you in the scriptures.
It's between the spirit and the law.
It's between bondage and freedom is the way I want to put it.
Okay.
Leviticus chapter 23, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. So whose feasts are they?
They're
God's. Mm-hmm. Now, when you understand the Hebrew here, it gets so powerful, it gets so exciting that every Christian will say, why did I miss this? I've been robbed. Listen to this when you understand the Hebrew. This same Leviticus 23, verse 2. The feast, the word feast in Hebrew is the moed, or the appointments. So it's the appointment. Let me read it now.
Right.
Feast means appointments, and convocation in Hebrew means rehearsal. Let's read it with this understanding.
All right.
The appointments of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy rehearsals, these are my appointments.
Wow.
So what is God saying? There are certain times in the calendar that I promise to show up. If you will worship me, I want to make, Patricia King, I want to make an appointment with you on certain dates. Would you get your calendar out? Would you circle those dates? And would you make it a priority? Because
wow,
I promise to show up. And here's what's going to happen when you observe these dates, and these are the biblical feasts in the scriptures. These are rehearsals. Now, the first feasts were rehearsals of the first coming of the Messiah.
Right.
What do you think the last feasts are rehearsals of? The return of the Messiah. I mean, why is there so much confusion in last days theology?
Mm-hmm.
You listen to one person, you listen to this idea on the rapture, you listen to all these different things. Maybe the mystery is because the church has not gone to the dress rehearsal of the return of Jesus.
Wow.
Do you realize that that the first feasts that are mentioned in the scriptures, every detail of the first coming of Jesus is in these, it's packed into these feasts. So what is going to happen when the Spirit of God is going to be poured out, because God says, I'm going to show up on these feasts, and you have the expectancy because the Word of God says, I'm making an appointment with you, Patricia.
Right.
I will show up on these feasts. There's so many seers and prophetic people that are beginning to recognize there's something so supernatural on these feasts. That's when God's going to speak to you.
Right.
That's when you're going to get revelation of the end times.
Now, our friend David Herzog, he has a real grasp of this, and he was sharing some testimonies with us about how even following the observing of a feast, that following he goes to new levels in the Lord, new levels of revelation, of intimacy. Things happen, things shift, even of blessing, finances, enlargement, and increase. And so God likes it when we show. I mean, I would feel, you know, it makes you feel bad for God if he has this appointment and no one shows up. That would be awful.
But he's expecting us to show up. I mean, if you had an appointment with the dentist and you had a big tooth problem, there is nothing that would stop you. There'd be no other priority to stop you from going to that dentist. How much more an appointment with the great physician?
I know. And also, something that struck me is that, like, sometimes people talk about, okay, the Jewish feasts. And they don't know, because I'm not Jewish, you know, why would I observe a Jewish feast? And of course, Gentiles have feasts and parties and that. This isn't about a Jewish feast or a Gentile feast. This is about a God feast.
That's what I just read.
Yeah,
he says,
that's
this
what
is
you're
my, this is what God says. This is my feast, or in the Hebrew, this is my appointment.
And we're all
with
invited.
and going one step further, Jeremiah 31:31 says, behold, the days come in which I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their forefathers, which they violated, but there'll be two things. Number one, I will remember their sins no more. And number two, they will know me. But the covenant is made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. So when a Gentile is grafted into the new covenant, they're grafted into a covenant made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. You see how we're so connected.
Wow.
And that, and by the way, that's why the devil tries to separate the two groups so much.
Exactly.
And what I can envision happening, Patricia, is Gentile Christians are going to say, I want an appointment with God too.
Right.
And they're going to start celebrating these feasts, but not the way Orthodox Jews do. Study how Orthodox Jews celebrate. There's great insight. And not even the way we Messianic Jews celebrate. Study what we Messianic Jews do, because there's great insight.
Right.
But I'm talking about such freedom and such, it's like the Spirit of God that is on this set right now. Can you picture having an appointment with God, having the Spirit of God, having revelation of the Word on a rehearsal of the return of Jesus? Talk about excitement. And then provoke the Jew to jealousy. Start inviting your Jewish friends to these feasts and watch what happens. Because, say, when I celebrate the Passover, God shows up. As a matter of fact, God just showed up. Someone's neck has just been healed in Jesus' name. If you move your head, you'll see the pain is gone. And at our feast, God shows up and people get physically healed. And then Jews and Christians are going to start coming together, not in an ecumenical sense, but under the banner of Yeshua, of Jesus. And we're going to become one. And that's what that book, The Incomplete Church, is all about.
Wow.
When the two ancient spiritual DNAs come together, we have the full body of Messiah. And in Amos, it talks about the greatest revival the world will ever see. This revival is going to be so great that it describes it as an agricultural sense, that the people that will be tilling the soil up, they'll still be harvesting the crops from the year before, because there was such a gigantic harvest. And it says, when will this happen? When the tabernacle of David is restored. And the word tabernacle in Hebrew means house or family.
Right.
So when the family of David is restored to God through Jesus, the greatest harvest the world has ever seen is going to happen.
Now, Sid, in your book, The Incomplete Church, you talk about the feasts and about our participation in them and dynamics of them and that. So we can't go into all of that now, but there's a number of feasts, and we don't even have time left on this program to actually explain the feasts, what they are, what they represent, and that's for another time. But can you help us with a few little nuggets? How can I, as a Gentile believer, how can I start observing feasts?
This is what I recommend. There are many books. You start with my book, and you learn the basics of the feasts, how Jewish people observe them, how Messianic Jews observe them. But then go one step further. You take the scriptures yourself, and you say, Holy Spirit, we're going to observe Feast of Tabernacles this year. And you read the scriptures about the Feast of Tabernacles. Do you know Zechariah says that when Jesus comes to rule, if Gentiles don't go to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, there'll be no rain. Rain represents the Holy Spirit. So you see these connections. So you read this and say, now how, Spirit of God, how do you want the people that will be worshiping God with me this Feast of Tabernacles do it? It's going to be different each year. It's going. I did a Passover Seder one time with my friend Paul Wilbur, and we never got beyond the plate because God showed up. The purpose of the feast is for God's appointment.
Yeah, that's
not
right.
not so much all these little ingredients. It's what do you want?
And that can be intimidating because you think, I've got to get all my ducks in a row. I've got to think, okay, what does this do? And what do I do next? And what's this all about? But that's not the spirit of the feast. The feast is exactly as you said. It's like this is a God appointment. He wants to meet with his people. He wants to show up. He wants to impart things to us because he's a father. He wants to be with his children. He is a lover, and he wants to show up and reveal things to us, and it's just awesome. Well, I want to move forward. We have been visited by the Lord at certain times, and certain feasts, especially our ministry, we just get these appointments with God. It's just he led us that way. But officially, we haven't, you know, set up anything officially, and I want to go the next step, and maybe you do too. It's like we have this invitation to meet with God. Maybe it's for even your family to get together at a certain time, or maybe even you together with God to have a visitation, an encounter like you've never had before, because you are all in Jesus called into the full relationship with God and the feasts and the festivals and everything else that's outlined in the Word of God is for one thing. It's relationship with him. And that is what is being enhanced. We're going to do it together in Yeshua.
The Incomplete Church is the powerful new book by Sid Roth.
God is going to have a new paradigm for the church. It's the end time church. There's something missing. That's why I wrote my book, The Incomplete Church.
The Incomplete Church explains the next move of God's Spirit. This new move of God will result in the greatest Jewish and Gentile revival in history. Be sure to get your copy of The Incomplete Church. It's available to you right now with a donation of $25 or more. Call 866-980-5464 or donate online in the store at xpmedia.com. Television offer 217. Donate today.
Become a Breaker Team partner today. Go online to xpmedia.com.
The 103rd Psalm says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not," very important, "forget not all of his benefits." He's forgiven all, I like that word all of your sins. He's healed all, I like that word, all of your diseases. He sent his word and healed you. And he's sending his word right on you. Take your hand, put it on the part of your body that is, like if you have high blood pressure, put it on your heart. If you have deafness in the ear, put it on your ears. If you have blindness, put it on your eye. If you have a pain in your fingers, put it on your hand on your fingers. If you have a pain in your knee, put it on your knee. Wherever the pain is, put your hand there or near it. And you do what the Gospel of Mark says. Those who believe will lay hands on the sick And it says, in the name of Jesus, they will recover. So just say it. You don't need a long prayer. Say, Jesus, 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 thank you for the healing, Almighty God.
Whatever you have, any infirmity in your body can be healed right now. And I release the healing power of Jesus Christ. Now just start doing something you couldn't do before. I mean, it's this easy. There's so much thick grace in this room right now. But I particularly want to pray for a woman that has had tightness in the chest. It's got to do with a stress-related situation that you've been in at the workplace recently, but you've been really frightened. There's palpitations, and you've got a history in your family of heart disease. Father, in the name of Jesus, I break the power of that infirmity in that woman's body in Jesus' name, and break it off the generation line. I break the curse off the generation line in Jesus' name, and I command the stress and the pressure on the heart to lift off it right now, and for absolute health to come to her. Wow. Now take a deep breath right now, like that. There. You notice, all that pressure's gone. The stress is gone. The pain's gone. Yes, because Jesus has touched you right now. His healing power is so enormous. Anything can be healed right now. There's such an enormous weight of the glory of God for healing.
There is such a presence of God right now that as I pray this ancient prayer that Moses was instructed by God to pray over the Jewish people, healing is going to flow like a river. You know, in Ezekiel chapter 47, it talks about a river. It's called a double river in the Hebrew, Jew and Gentile. And wherever that river goes, there's healing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his countenance to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord grant you his shalom, his completeness in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body, and in your fingers. The arthritis is gone in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach Tzidkenu, Jesus the Messiah, our righteousness.